This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of hip physical exam in adults from the recon section on orthobullets.com. In this episode, we'll go over inspection, palpation, neurovascular exam, range of motion assessment, and special tests in the physical exam of the hip in adults. Starting with inspection, skin, bony anatomy, and gait should be inspected. The skin should be inspected for discoloration, wounds, or gross deformity. Bony anatomy should be inspected for length, that is, compared to the contralateral side. It should be inspected for position, that is, internally or externally rotated, or the presence of flexion contractures, and obviously you should also inspect for any gross deformity. As far as inspection of gait, observe the stride length, foot rotation, pelvic rotation, and stance phase. With an antalgic or painful gait, there's a shortened stance phase on the affected side. In a Trendelenburg gait, this is secondary to abductor weakness, and weight bearing on the affected hip leads to a contralateral hip drop. Moving on to palpation, be sure to palpate the greater trochanter / bursa, as pain can be attributable to bursitis, tendonitis, infection, or fracture. In the setting of a snapping iliotibial band, the iliotibial band can snap over the greater trochanter and cause pain. Also be sure to palpate the anterior superior iliac spine, where there may be pain with sartorius avulsion / injuries. Palpation of the ischial tuberosity may reveal pain with hamstring avulsion / tendinopathy. Palpation of the iliac crest may reveal pain with oblique avulsion / hip pointers. Finally, also be sure to palpate the iliotibial band / tensor fasciata. Moving on to the neurovascular exam, be sure to assess motor function, sensory function, pulses, and reflexes. On the motor exam, be sure to evaluate hip adduction, which tests the obturator nerve, thigh abduction, which tests the superior gluteal nerve, hip flexion, which tests the femoral nerve, and hip extension, which tests the inferior gluteal nerve. Moving on to the sensory exam, you should evaluate the proximal anteromedial thigh, which tests the genitofemoral nerve, the inframedial thigh, which tests the obturator nerve, the lateral thigh, which tests the lateral femoral cutaneous nerve, the anteromedial thigh, which tests the femoral nerve, and the posterior thigh, which tests the posterior femoral cutaneous nerve. Pulses for the physical exam of the hip includes the femoral artery, and remember that there is no hip reflex to test. Moving on to range of motion assessment, be sure to test flexion, extension, abduction, adduction, internal rotation, and external rotation of the hip. Flexion should be 120 to 135 degrees, and the Thomas test evaluates hip flexion contractures. Extension should be between 20 to 30 degrees, abduction should be between 40 to 50 degrees, adduction should be between 20 to 30 degrees, internal rotation should be approximately 30 degrees, and external rotation should be approximately 50 degrees. Finally, moving on to special tests, the Fader test is when the hip is flexed 90 degrees, adducted, and internally rotated. The test is positive if the patient has hip or groin pain. This can suggest possible labral tear or femoral acetabular impingement. The Faber test, aka the Patrick's test, is when the hip is flexed to 90 degrees, abducted, and externally rotated. The test is positive if the patient has hip or back pain or range of motion is limited. A positive Faber test can suggest intraarticular hip lesions, iliopsoas pain, or sacroiliac disease, in which pain is located posteriorly. Moving on to the log roll test, this is when you apply passive maximal internal and external rotation of the lower extremity while supine. Clicking or popping can suggest acetabular labral tear. Increased total range of motion compared to the contralateral side suggests ligament or capsular laxity. The Thomas test is done with the patient supine, where you will fully flex one hip. If the contralateral hip lifts off the table, there is likely a fixed flexion deformity. Moving on to Ober's test, this is done with the patient placed in a lateral position with the affected side up. With the hip in slight extension, abduct the leg, then allow it to drop into adduction. If you are unable to adduct the leg, suspect a tight iliotibial band. Finally, a Stinchfield-resisted hip flexion test is done with the patient supine and the knee extended. Then the examiner resists active hip flexion past 30 to 45 degrees. A positive test elicits pain, which is likely to be associated with an intraarticular hip pathology. Okay, now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's do two flashcards to test your recall. What pathologies does the Fader test evaluate for? so the FADER test evaluates for possible labral tear or femoral acetabular impingement. To quickly review, the FADER test is done with the hip flexed to 90 degrees, adducted, and internally rotated. The test is positive if the patient has hip or groin pain, and again, this can suggest possible labral tear or femoral acetabular impingement. And moving on to the final flashcard, what pathologies does the FABER, F-A-B-E-R test evaluate for? So the FABER test, also known as Patrick's test, can suggest intra-articular hip lesions, iliopsoas pain, or sacroiliac disease, which manifests with pain located posteriorly. To quickly review, the FABER test is done with the hip flexed to 90 degrees, abducted, and externally rotated. The test is positive if the patient has hip or back pain or range of motion is limited. Again, the FABER test can suggest intra-articular hip lesions, iliopsoas pain, or sacroiliac disease, which manifests with pain located posteriorly. That's all for this review about physical exam of the hip in adults. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website or mobile app while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the OrthoBullets podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Also, if you aren't already, be sure to follow OrthoBullets on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube for daily high-yield content. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow, right here on the OrthoBullets podcast.